Coming up on podcast 1333, the VW ID Buzz, that is the retro microbus, gets an unveiling date and we see a bit more. I'll tell you details soon, keep listening. We'll talk VinFast and Honda building EVs, but only for China. And getting trucks to go electric, but, you know, proper heavy-duty trucks by Magna. Those stories and many more coming up on the podcast today. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. It's Friday, 7th of January. Last working day of the week. First full week back at work for many. My name is Martin Lee, and it's my job to go through every EV story. And it's been a busy one with CES in Las Vegas. And I whittle it down to just what you need to know. And I want to say thanks to a new Patreon producer. Now, I hope I get your name correct. I think that would be Prabhat Vaz or Prabhat Vaz. Thank you so much for signing up to be a new producer of this podcast. And a quick reminder for anyone who supports on Patreon or who wants to, I don't know if you want to have a think about, have a look at patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. You don't have to do that. If you want to have a look, check out the Patreon page. At $5, $10, a bit more if you want. You can support this show at different levels. You get your ad-free feed and other stuff as well. Get your name in the show notes. Why not? Okay, we'll start with news about VW unveiling the retro microbus. ID Buzz, we've got a date. It's going to be March the 9th. They're going to unveil the ID Buzz, the electric iteration of the iconic hippie-era microbus. March the 9th, the date for your diaries. CEO Herbert Diess announcing yesterday on his Twitter feed. Now, the original microbus, says Automotive News Europe, was the colourful breadloaf-shaped van that was a regular sight in the 1960s at music festivals, the likes of Woodstock, and has a dedicated fan following. The model is planned for the UK to go on sale later this year, so production will start soon, and it'll be the fourth. The ID3, ID4, ID5, and now the ID Buzz. If it is going to be called the ID Buzz, maybe it'll get a number. We don't know. And the first ID model that'll be either a passenger vehicle or a commercial vehicle. Now, because of that, there have been, I think, some compromises made to that concept. Now, if you haven't seen it, go look it up. If it doesn't spring to mind, that original ID Buzz concept was just something out of space. Do you know what I mean? You saw that and was like, oh, VW, make it. Please, don't touch it. Make that vehicle. Now, they haven't. They've had to square it off. It's more like a van, because if you're going to make a car or a vehicle that is both a passenger carrier, an MPV, take the kids around, all the surfboards, etc., go on holiday with it, but also have it as an optional panel van, as a working vehicle, you can't really have that futuristic concept style shape. You know, VW telling Auto Car magazine that the squarer shape was all about maximizing interior space. As with the microbus, production version of the ID Buzz has those two conventional front doors, so, you know, hinged doors, and then the two parallel sliding doors at the rear. I'll pop a link to Auto Car in the show notes so you can read more. Now, another big car company approaching their limit of the federal tax credit in the US for EV sales, but a name that you won't think is about to hit their limit, and that would be Toyota. And I'll tell you why. Last year in 2021, Toyota offered two plug-in hybrids, the Prius Prime and the RAV4 Prime, Lexus launching the NX450H in December, but only selling 18 of those. In Q4, Toyota sold 10,500 plug-ins and 53,000 plug-ins over the year. Also, last year in 2021, they sold the most amount of Primes that I think they've ever sold. So that would be about 27,000 Primes. Really impressive, actually. The RAV4 Prime, I should specifically say, is a vehicle that lots of people really, really like. And if only Toyota would make more of them available, they would sell more of them. There's a long waiting list for that vehicle. The Prius Prime, the aging Prius Prime, still sold 2,500 units in Q4. But 2021 was the second best year for the Prius Prime. And the impact of all of that is that they're about to hit their 200,000 unit manufacturer limit. Now, that was hit in 2018 by Tesla, then by GM, and reaching the limit triggers the phase out of the incentive over the next six quarters. Tesla lost their eligibility at the end of 2019, GM lost it April 2020, and recently Lexus started sales of the plug-in hybrid, the NX450H, which, according to Inside EVs, does fall under the Toyota counter. It means that if you are waiting for the launch of a Toyota all-electric vehicle, aren't we all, like the BZ4X, that's going to be coming mid-2022, perhaps the end of 2022, chances are, by the time you actually get that vehicle delivered, if you want that car, you might get no federal tax credit, and they haven't even started selling electric vehicles yet. Bit of an own goal by Toyota. Now, there's also the Subaru Solterra, which is the sister car of the BZ4X. Doesn't have a stupid name. If you like Subaru, you'll like this. And actually, they haven't eaten into their $200,000 limit, and you would get the full $7,500 off unless the US changes their incentive scheme sometime this year, which is almost a certainty. We'll wait and see. Now we'll go to Vietnam. Or rather, Vietnam will come to you, because VinFast have big plans. And using the CES show in Las Vegas to talk about those plans, the pure electric vehicles they want to be making, will be made in the US at their manufacturing facility there, their global chief exec telling Reuters. VinFast is part of Vingroup, the largest conglomerate in Vietnam, becoming the country's first fully-fledged domestic car maker when the petrol-powered models built under their own badge went on sale in 2019. Now, according to VnExpress.net, the Vietnamese newspaper, the company says that they're going to be the first in the world to transition from selling petrol cars to pure EVs. Now, okay, they've only been selling combustion cars a couple of years, so it's not really eating into any kind of legacy business. But still, I guess it's a headline. VinFast will assemble battery packs with cells sourced from their suppliers at their US complex. Then they'll start making their own ones there. They want to make 100,000 battery packs a year, spending $174 million an investment in a US battery plant and upgrading it to a run rate of 1 million a year. The company saying yesterday it wants to establish an EV plant in Germany as well. Now look, announcements are great, and for a long time, if you, like me, are into electric vehicles, we're used to announcements. We're used to a lot of jam tomorrow. This, hopefully, will come off because it's more stuff to get excited about. Now, I must admit, a Vietnamese electric vehicle is not something that I ever thought I wanted or needed. But I really want to have a look at what they can produce. Look, go back 20, 30 years, and who would say that you really wanted a Kia on your driveway? Or a Hyundai would be your number one choice. So those cars have gone on an amazing journey, their brand journey, if you like, over those kind of tens of years that those cars have been on sale. So let's keep an open mind and see. We hope that they get through into production and we start to get those cars and we can have a play with them, not just in the US, but in Europe as well. Fingers crossed. Right, next, GM unveiling a self-driving Cadillac electric vehicle. It's a concept vehicle, which they say is a new personal self-driving electric concept car. Putting it under the Cadillac brand, shown off at the CES show in Vegas. GM's CEO Mary Barra, during the keynote, revealing that GM and its majority-owned subsidiary Cruise will be offering what they call personal autonomous electric vehicles by the middle of the decade in 2025. And look, you know, you might be smiling already because you know where I'm going with this. GM need to do a lot less talking and a lot more making of vehicles. Now, we are more than happy to hear about what's coming, but now they say they're going to make a pure electric, fully autonomous, personal electric vehicle by 2025. Look, just about the best stuff out there, like the Tesla system, it can't cope when it snows. We've seen videos this week with the latest version of full self-driving with the winter weather. And the minute the snow comes down and it can't see the road, the vision-only system, beep, 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 take control. Like it. And what, in 3 years' time, we're going to be getting in cars, they're going to be taking us here, there and everywhere with no steering wheels? It's not going to happen. I'm sorry if you're an Elon Musk fan or a Mary Barra fan. It is not going to happen. They'll get a lot of the way there. Maybe level 3 autonomy over the next couple of years. So hands off, eyes off, but you still in the vehicle. The idea there is nobody else in that vehicle driving, that you get in the back seat. It does it all. There's nobody at a control center that can take over, you know, remotely and steer from thousands of miles away over 5G. The fact that these vehicles will be electric cars that can drive themselves in 3 years' time, it's pure science fiction, but she knows it'll do wonders for the share price. And that's kind of sad as well. But so anyway, this car is, you know, pretty concept-y. It's a two-seater. It looks like a normal car. But I think if we're going to reimagine the electric car for fully autonomous driving, why would it look like what we think the motor car is, with a big bonnet up the front, which is only there because we had to build engines to put in the front. So it's all kind of weird. Hey, GM. A few less announcements, please, and get your head down, bum up, get on with your work. Right, let's talk about residential parking. And in the US, Department of Energy have put out their fact of the day, or is it fact of the week? I forget. Access to charging infrastructure, one of the biggest barriers to plug-in vehicle adoption. In an online survey, respondents provided information on their household parking options, electrical access, and potential of that. According to the US Department of Energy, at energy.gov, I saw this, parking for single-family detached housing was often a driveway or a carport. So that's kind of a no-brainer for driving an EV. A single family in a detached house with a driveway or carport, yep, very easy to go electric. Then the next common was a personal garage. Then the next common was on-street parking. Most of those with a personal garage had electrical access in the garage already, or at least potential of electrical access in that garage. I guess if it's close to the house, sometimes integral or attached to the house, that's also a no-brainer. I guess if your garage is entirely detached, hasn't got a power supply, that could be an issue. Less than half of those with driveways and carports had electrical access. So getting electric to somebody who parks on a driveway or a carport is a bit more of a step. So that's interesting to think about. Single family housing attached housing, so either semi-detached or terrace housing, had a much smaller share of electrical access for where the vehicles were parked overnight. An apartment residence had the least access, with each of the three apartment categories having less than 25% access or potential access to electricity. Such a huge job to do, and it ties nicely in with our question of the week this week. I'll read out your answers on Sunday. So in this DOE information, with less than 25% of people in apartment living having access or even potential access to charging where they are. My question this week, well, it's not mine. It was one of your fellow listeners, Joshua Pritt, suggested the question this week, and I'll give it to you at the end of the podcast, so keep listening all the way until the end. Right, coming up very soon, we'll be talking about electric trucking and why might be the now might be the right time to end incentives for EVs? I'm surprised, but that's the opinion of someone very senior in the EV industry. Stick around. Those stories are on the way. Now let's go to Japan, or China, actually, because Honda's Chinese subsidiary, Dongfeng Honda, plans to build EVs, but only for the Chinese market. Starting in 2024, it's a 50-50 joint venture between Honda and China's Dongfeng Motor, building 120,000 pure EVs every single year from 2024, buying batteries from CATL, with a new contract made public to obtain 56 gigawatt hours of batteries per year for Honda's pure electric cars, but again, only for the Chinese market. Honda plans to sell pure electric cars made in China only to the Chinese market. This year they sold 10,000 EVs in China in the year just gone. Honda is a company that is, again, much like Toyota, just waiting to sell those electric vehicles, electric versions of all their models outside of China. Now, China moving quickly, but man, I wish they'd have more of a game plan for US and Europe, etc. Magna is a company that we talk about occasionally, automotive supplier Magna. They're the people that put together the I-Pace for Jaguar. They'll do kind of small runs of interesting things for car companies that don't want to retool the entire factory. Magna can do that. Saying today that they have unveiled an electric powertrain for four-wheel drive systems and commercial pickup trucks. So not the kind of stuff that you would think would be on your driveway, but three-quarter ton, one-ton vehicles, etc. Heavy-duty trucks, if you like. They've called it Intelligent Force. The drive components are packaged in existing frame rails, so you haven't got to change the way that you make the trucks, providing a way to make trucks either plug-in or pure electric. The new system, adding electric drive units to the front axle, a front motor, which is 180 kilowatts or 240 horsepower, and a rear e-beam tuned to 430 kilowatts, that is 576 horsepower, to help those kind of heavier trucks make the transition to electric power. So they're not a name that you would associate very much. Obviously, if you don't know about the automotive industry, then you wouldn't really know about Magna, but they're a very big player and do very interesting things. And now they've got a set of solutions for their customers who might be truck makers, don't want to do the hard yards themselves, want to buy in a system off the shelf from somebody else, and that is a brilliant piece of news. Now might be the right time to end grants for EVs. According to the chief executive officer of Podpoint, his name is Eric Fairburn, very well known here in the UK as the chief of the charging business Podpoint, and he thinks the government is right to wind down grants for EVs. Now, I must say that is definitely not the opinion of many people I speak to, but Eric Fairburn saying it was exactly the right time for government grants to go. And as we saw that a quarter of vehicles bought at the end of last year were battery powered, he says, What subsidies are for are to encourage activity before it's commercially viable. I think electric vehicles stand up on their own 2 feet now, is what he said. Now, his views are in contrast to many people, including the lobby organisation, the SMMT. Mike Hawes is the boss there, and he called on the UK government to maintain subsidies. It was recently cut from £2,500 to £1,500, and the scheme offering £350 towards a home charging unit will be closed in April. So, interesting. You can't discount when someone like Eric Fairbairn says, get rid of the grants. You can't discount his opinion. He's been around the EV world longer than most, and he's clearly done some deep thinking on that. Again, gut reaction, knee jerk, I say no, keep the grants, money off cars. But as we've seen, when the grant has been diminishing here, car makers, and they've been lowering the threshold, and now it's £32,000, all of a sudden they manage to take a little bit of money off the purchase price of the car to bring it below that threshold. So maybe keep the subsidies, the grants, but maybe just lower the threshold at which they're available. And because you could argue someone buying a 50 or 60 grand car doesn't really need taxpayers' help. Somebody buying a £20,000 car to get their, I don't know, their kids to school, go get the groceries, a very, very non-fancy car for that money, does need more help to go electric. Now, we don't cover many stories from Inner Mongolia. I'm not sure we ever have, but there is a new electric mining vehicle which is being made in Inner Mongolia. It's unmanned as well. It's autonomous and it's pure electric. And what they're doing is using it for smart mining. So these mining trucks, they look like a truck, except there's nobody in the cab. They have perception systems, behavior systems, positioning systems, high precision mapping. It can avoid rocks, but it can do all of its work in the mine autonomously and on pure electric power. Great for emissions, and great to see that these kind of things are electric vehicles are finding their way into really interesting spaces, and indeed Inner Mongolia. Now, you know that one of the things that annoys me the most is finding a charge point in a non-Tesla. How can so many smart people at car companies and charging companies still get this so wrong? Get inside a Tesla, navigate to a supercharging station, bish bash bosh, you're away. Get in any other car, and you don't quite know the experience you're going to have. But now, a partnership between Digital Charging Solutions, DCS, they operate a big charging network around the world, about 280,000 connections. I think they pull together various networks in Europe and Japan. DCS are doing a deal with HERE, H-E-R-E, the company HERE. They're a mapping company. So DCS provide charging services for the likes of Mercedes, BMW and Hyundai. So when you buy your new car and you get your little charge card inside the glove box for charging your car, you will probably be using the DCS system. They're getting together with the mapping company HERE, and they are going to collaborate on the location and the usage of charging points in HERE's mapping system. When the maps are updated in the new cars that this will be available in, then you will see where those charges are, the status of the charge, and navigate to them. And it'll be a much more intuitive experience for any car maker that uses HERE's mapping system and uses the DCS network. Again, it should be all chargers, shouldn't it? But when you think about it, Tesla, so brilliantly vertically integrated. They make the cars, they write the software, they make the chargers themselves, they install the chargers themselves. Of course, it's just all going to work. You bring together all these different car makers, all these different charging networks, all with hardware made by different charging manufacturers. Of course, the whole thing doesn't work sometimes, and you get in your car and you want to go and charge it, and you end up using third-party apps. It just should be so much more native in anything non-Tesla. And some are getting it right, by the way. Now let's talk about EV charging companies pushing faster at-home chargers. And things like vehicle to grid as well. At CES show in Las Vegas, charging companies have been there in force, showing off their latest goods and wares. EV charging companies are keen to reach what they clearly see as a bigger customer base in the EV world. Companies like Blink were there with four new charging products, including a DC fast charging wall-mounted charger and three level two chargers, one designed for fleet and apartment applications, another for home, and another for one that integrates advertising in the display. According to TechCrunch, eLift were there, and they have a customizable pop-up charging station. They're a Dutch company launching in North America. Watch out for eLift. Juice Bar were there. They're a Connecticut-based EV charging company. They're really bigging up Made in America. And their first residential charger was on show at CES. The Cheetah will charge at up to 48 amps at 240 volts, which is, yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty quick, faster than most. Wallbox were there. I mentioned the Quasar 2. That is a CCS, it's not CHAdeMO, CCS-enabled bi-directional home wall charger with integrated technology to protect the grid if there's a power cut, so you're not feeding juice back into the grid while people are trying to fix it at the end of your road and getting a bit of a shock. The Quasar 2 is a 48-amp system, and it's is the kind of it's the one recommended, I think, if you buy a new iPace or BMW i3, etc. You've got the My Wallbox app. You can do it through Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and control the charger that way. And of course, vehicle to home. Really interesting. Meerdots unveiled their first commercial wireless charger for e-scooters, e-mopeds, and other vehicles like food delivery robots, even wheelchairs. The charger takes the shape of a physical pad that you can move over whatever it is, your electric wheelchair, your e-moped, and it'll charge the vehicle as you roll over that pad. They're called Meerdot, and they were showing off their stuff at CES. Now, let's talk a little bit about Rivian. I told you recently how Amazon were doing a deal with Stellantis to buy some electric vans from them, and that really impacted Rivian. Now, the EV maker Rivian saw its stock price crash after Amazon announced yesterday they were going to buy some Stellantis battery electric vans. Following the announcement, shares of Rivian tumbled 11%, the biggest drop since November the 18th, about a week after its blockbuster IPO. Rivian started their IPO on November the 10th, and it was the year's biggest IPO. Rivian shares were up 57% in their first 2 days, but now they've been crashing alongside things like the news that Amazon will buy electric vans from Stellantis. And that's really interesting, isn't it? Because not only do I not understand the financial world of electric vehicles, and I've done a Saturday special recently with Vitaly Golom from Drake Star Partners. Check it out. Saturday special a couple of weeks ago where he tells me more about how that works. And but it's just the irrationality of the stock market, which I don't understand. Like Tesla, clearly not worth what the stock price is. Rivian, clearly not worth what the IPO price is. And then it jumped up as well. And then how can a company's value, like if you believe in a value of a company, how can it go down 11% in a day just because Amazon, who are going to need millions of electric vehicle vans, so they're going to buy some from Stellantis and people overreact? It shows as well the, I think, how people still think about the EV world, and that if one person, for one person to win, another has to lose. And maybe that is just, again, a stock market thing. Maybe it's a, I don't know, like a competitive thing. It's a very zero sum thing, right? Why can't everyone win? Like, why can't Amazon buy electric vans from lots of people? They're not going to cancel their order with Rivian. They're a massive investor in Rivian. They're going to have the Rivian vans, but outside of the US, they might have some Stellantis vans as well. It makes perfect sense to me, but hey, I don't invest in stocks because the whole thing is bonkers. Anyway, let's talk about e-mobility now at a bike scale. And we'll talk about the NIU, N-I-U. They are more famous for scooters, but now making their electric bike price and specs available to us. Micah Toll, who writes for Electrek and has a great YouTube channel called E-Bike School, has been talking about NIO and how it's showing off at CES several interesting electric motorcycles and scooters coming to the US, and their first electric bicycle, drawing a lot of attention. Powered by 500-watt continuous and 750-watt Bafang hub motor in the rear, the bike will reach a top speed of 28 miles an hour. Of course, that's in the US. Here in Europe, we are limited to a 250-kilowatt motor and 15 miles an hour, which is a bit of a shame, a bit pedestrian. NIO has announced that the BQi will be $1,500 in America, which does undercut lots of electric bikes in their competition. But why should we care about electric bikes? Well, Charlotte Bailey is the regional manager for Northern Europe at Bird, the e-mobility company Bird, and has been discussing how they see micro-mobility. I'll pop a link. It's a bit of a long read. Enjoy that one. It's on intelligenttransport.com website. But she was saying that Bird really strongly believes in micro-mobility's role in getting people out of cars where it is useful to ride a bike or go on a scooter. So much so that they've developed their own e-bike of their own. It's called the Bird Bike, and it's an electric bike for their riders to take all of the benefits of the shared bike home for their own personal enjoyment. She says consumers are clearly hungry for eco-friendly options. E-bikes top the list. The American market bought an e-bike every 52 seconds in 2020 in the UK, buying one every 3 minutes. And e-bikes, e-scooters and the rest, really interesting thing. I think we'll talk more about over the coming months and years on this podcast. Right, question of the week, as I mentioned, we're by Josh Pritt, one of your fellow listeners, asking about apartment living, condo living. And if you own an EV and you don't have home charging, how do you charge it at the minute? Is it an inconvenience? Or do you have a routine when you go shopping? And if you're not an EV owner yet, how do you think you might get around that problem if that's you that we're talking about? Email me your answer. I'll read it out on Sunday. The address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. Thanks to all of our Patreon supporters, our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.